Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Am I off somewhere nice afterwards? And lots of people have been asking me that, actually. Been wanting to know whether I'll be going to a wedding or not. Hey, if Jesus comes back, we're all off to a wedding, I'll tell you. Hey! Well, at least I hope all of us will be. Yes, indeed. Okay. So, it's somebody's birthday today. I'm surprised you're not all dressed up, to be honest. You know. Okay. All right. And,
we are. <We're>
With birthdays in mind, we have been doing a secret collection, actually, for Faye, to bless her. She is our pastor. It's good to bless our pastor, isn't it? So you might not have come prepared to kind of like give a little birthday gift, but if you have and you want to, then you can drop that to Keith. We'll stick it in an envelope with Rita's name on it, and we're going to count it all up at the end. It's not for Rita, all right. It's just, that's how we've been doing it secretly. We've been writing Rita on it, so it stays a secret. And then she's been counting it all up, and we're going to present eventually when it's all together. We'll give Faye a check at the end, because it's good to bless your pastor, you know that? Yeah? Okay, I'm glad you agree. All right. So we're going to sort that out at the end of the meeting. There's probably going to be a few things to organise afterwards. So I'm going to kind of jump right into it. And we'll give you a bit of a backstory to the first scripture reference I'm going to read. David of the Lord is my shepherd fame, he fought a 9-foot giant. And he killed him with a sling stone and used the giant's sword to chop his head off. It's an 18-rated certificate story, that one. Okay, but apart from the young one we've got down there, who probably doesn't understand a word I'm saying, I think we're all over 18 in here, so we're all right. Like what you did there, Lisa. Very good, yeah. Okay, so he immediately becomes best buddies with the king's son, Jonathan. Right, so they connect on a spiritual level and on a friendship level. And there's a bond between them. All right, in these days of uncertainty, they were both men's men. So, all right, they both liked the ladies, especially David, perhaps a little bit too much sometimes, but that's another story. And they had a connection, you know, they became kind of soul buddies, soul brothers, you know, and there was a strong bond between them, which leads us... Oh, actually, can we organise this one in the NIV, Angus? I've not dropped that one on, have I? Is that a possibility? Because it uses a word in there that is not used in the New Living Translation. Give me the thumbs up when you're ready.
I've not got NIV on this.
Oh, gutted. Who's got an NIV Bible? Rita. Can I borrow your Bible? All right. Oh, yes, yeah, where am I going? Yeah, good point, yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through to 4. I tell you what, whilst we're doing that, let's flick up the New Living Translation there, Angus, and I'll just show you the difference. So, all right then, after David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. There was an immediate bond of love between them, and they became the best of friends. That's nice, isn't it? It's good for you ladies to have best friends, ladies, and it's good for us fellows to have best friends, chaps as well, as, you know, our marriage partners, etc. Right, from that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, sword, bow and belt. Right, so interesting stuff, huh? So, let's see what it says here in the NIV. Right, so verse 3 in the NIV. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing, gave it to David, along with his tunic, and even his sword with his bow and his belt. Thank you for your Bible, Rita. I shall keep that with my collection. No, only joking. You can have it back. I've got a couple of NIVs at home, actually. But anyway, so they made a covenant. So a solemn, serious agreement. Right. They're going to be there for each other. They're going to share the good times. They're going to share the bad times. They're going to watch out for the good of each other. Okay. Jonathan had everything to lose from this covenant agreement. Okay, everything to lose. He was the crown prince. He's the next in line to the throne, in other words. In other words, he's supposed to be the king. Just borrowing my wife's bit of water. Some gin in there. Anyway. Right. So, by giving David his clothes and his weapons, he was saying, you're going to be the next king of Israel. Okay, I lay down my right to be king. So it was a prophetic act. Isn't it amazing? What a sacrificial thing that he did here. It was a huge sacrificial act. And like every biblical covenant, it was sealed with blood. I'm reliably told that what they used to do when they cut a covenant together, they would make a cut across the thumb there, and then they would kind of join hands, the blood would mingle, and that was that. They sealed the covenant that way. And what was it they do? They used to pack it with something, is that right, Pastor Lynn?
Ash.
Pack it with ash and dirt, so it would form a scar. So they're going to see it, and they're going to remember it. I have made a covenant. It's something that you're going to remember for the rest of your life. Very visible as well. You see your hands all the time, don't you? When you're awake anyway. Okay. So it's a huge sacrificial act here. And that's pretty huge on a human level, isn't it? I'm going to give you my kingship. You know, I recognize something in you. There's a call on your life that's bigger than I am, bigger than my life. You're the one that this thing is supposed to be handed over to. I'm going to lay it all down. I'm going to let you take on this mantle, because I recognize something that God is doing in you, and I'm prepared to sacrifice all that, the good stuff that would bring my way. What a fantastic thing, and what a great story it is. So, yeah, that's nice, but what's that got to do with us here in Barlston today? It's a good question. Well, anybody who's put their trust in Jesus has entered into the new covenant, also known as New Testament. You know, Testament and Covenant mean the same thing. You do now. Okay, so it's an agreement with the Crown Prince Jesus. Anybody, you might be a believer, you might not be a believer, but this covenant is there for you. Okay, it's open to you today. You can enter a covenant with God, an agreement. And Jesus put it like this when he was speaking at the Last Supper, in Luke 22, verse 20. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. It's great to be in the prayer meeting this morning where we just focused again, upon the cross. There was a real sense of the presence of God in this place. And it was great as we just focused upon the cross. And Jesus has poured out his blood as a sacrifice for us. It was a covenant, a new agreement, a new testament that he was making between God and his people. And Jesus was the one that was pouring out his blood, not just a cut on the hand, but on his back, hands, feet, on his head. His blood was poured out. His lifeblood was poured out for us, that we might have new life. An amazing thing that Jesus did for us. He took off his heavenly garments and he became a man. And he walked this earth, made that blood covenant agreement when he was tortured and crucified. Did you know that we have some new clothes? Many people have been saying, oh, you look smart today, Steve. So I kind of did it for a purpose, really. But I'll be in a little bit of an illustration for us, all right. Okay, so Galatians chapter 3. let's take a look there. Again, this is talking about covenant and some of the things that it means. I can't go into all of it today because it's a massive subject. But anyway, through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessings he promised to Abraham. Did you know that? That blessings that came to Abraham, that came through a covenant, through a solemn promise that he gave to Abraham way back then. And if you read the whole story, there were animals that were cut in half, so it was like there was a wall of blood. Abraham walked in between the two of them. And anyway, so here we go. The same blessings he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. And then we're going to move on to the next couple of verses, which are 26 through to 29 from Galatians chapter 3. For you are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, or through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ, like putting on new clothes. Okay. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are true children of Abraham, and you are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Say, it belongs to me. Excellent. It's the truth. All right. Okay, we need to apply what God has promised us, okay? For it to do us any good, we need to apply it to our lives. We need to understand it is for us, yeah? That's why he died on the cross. Did you know that? To get it to us. Sometimes you might think, ah, yeah, that's nice. But no, you need to apply. God wants us to apply the truth to our lives. So it's going to do us good. Abraham, God's friend, was blessed spiritually and physically. And so are you. So are you. I'm looking at a blessed people today. All right. It is because of the clothing of Christ on you. You have the clothing of Christ on you. Okay, so that clothing protects you. Did you know that? The devil can't touch you. The devil can't touch you. You're out of bounds to the devil because of the clothing of Christ that is upon your life. Okay. You remember the old song? I don't know if you've been around in Christendom for long enough. You might have heard that old song. You laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me. His sacrificial covenant has given us the right to be firstborn sons of God. We kind of get the picture about Jonathan there. He was the crown prince, the firstborn. He was going to be the king. And God has given us the right to be like firstborn sons of God, whether we're male or female. We've got the rights of the firstborn. Okay, we are fully loaded. Every good promise of God is ours in Christ to all who believe. Okay, that means we have got salvation from sin. It could be yours today. If you don't know salvation, it can be yours today. We've got justification. Oh, that's a big word, isn't it? Okay, what does that mean? You're beyond condemnation. You are beyond guilt because of what Christ has done for you. Healing is ours through Christ. Protection is ours through Christ. Provision is ours through Christ. You know, we're looking good. We're looking good because of the clothes that we have got upon us that Christ has given us. Okay, in my old self, I used to love my labels. I was one of those kind of football casuals. Used to kind of dress up in the old tachinis and the Lacoste and the Lyle and Scott and the Burberry's, you know. They call them chavs nowadays, don't they? But anyway, I wasn't a chav, I was a casual, is that right? Okay, but anyway. But man, the clothing that Christ gives you, it makes you look bling bling. So bling bling. If you could see in the spirit, you'd look pretty bling today. You'd be looking good. You be looking good, all right. It identifies you as a citizen of heaven. And as such, God gives you the glad welcome when we go to heaven. In fact, when we go before him in prayer, God sees us and gives us a glad welcome, the Bible tells us. We are looking good to God. Okay, we are welcome every time we come before him. What a privilege and what an honor that God has given us. Yes, that, you know, you think it was a privilege, you think it was an honor. What Jonathan did for David, what a privilege and what an honor that we have got to come before the King of Kings. So what did Jono, what did he get from David? I reckon, you know, it must have been a pretty interesting sight. You know, a blood-stained, smelly shepherd's outfit. And it says David was small, so it probably didn't even fit him either, you know. You've got to remember, he's carrying Goliath's head. Goliath's head was pretty big, so, you know. Would have been dripping with blood coming out, and mucus and all sorts, you know. It would have been pretty nasty. Nobody faint on me, will you? Okay, so that's what he swapped. Gave him the prince's robes and the mess that he put on from David. Awesome, huh? Awesome. That was the swap that he did. Okay, so what did Jesus swap with us? Okay, he took upon himself our sin. He took upon himself our shame. He took upon himself all of our guilt, all of our fears. We don't have to carry that. We can lift our heads up high, okay? Because all that stuff, all that negative, as we heard earlier on today, all that negative, all of our poverty has been put upon Jesus when he died upon the cross, and it is gone. It's gone. What a savior. Okay. We're going to look well good in heaven, you know. There's not going to be any kind of stain. There's not going to be any kind of blemish upon us when we're in heaven. We're going to be perfect, made perfect. As soon as a believer is absent from the body, we're present with the Lord and we're looking good. We're looking good. All right. I believe that Jesus comes to get us when we die. I believe it. All right, he comes to get us. I think Old Testament talks about the angels. They carried, I can't remember his name, was it Lazarus, to the bosom of Abraham, talked about. But New Testament believers, I believe Jesus comes to get us. In the second coming, it talks about Jesus is going to get the whole church. So I think those who go before, I reckon, they're going to get the same treatment. Jesus comes to get them. And certainly the stories I've heard as well, that's what I truly believe. I've heard stories of when saints, believers have died and they've passed from this life to the next. I don't like saying died like that. They go absent. All right, they go absent. So I've heard the story of a man who was kind of sat in bed and he had his suit on, he had his shirt and his tie on because he knew that Jesus was coming for me. He was very excited and he had a couple of other Christians around his bed and he was giving them instructions very excitedly. Don't want anybody being miserable at my funeral. Don't want anyone being miserable. And he was really excited. And he said, quick, put me straight. He's coming. And that was it. He was gone. He just saw a picture of Jesus coming towards him. And another lady, Mrs. Sherman, her husband was present at her bedside. He was a minister. And anyway, just before she died, it was like she looked at him. She could see someone was coming. She stretched out her hand. Just rocked back in the bed. That was it. She was gone. Jesus came and got her. What a great picture, eh? You know, he's coming for us. But we've got stuff to do whilst we're here. So, but yeah, it's great to be able to look forward to that. Okay. So here's a question. I'm sure that David perhaps would have asked Jonathan. And perhaps you've asked the same kind of question to Jesus. Why'd you do that for me? Why'd you do that for me? You know, perhaps it's the only answer that we're fully going to get, fully going to understand is when we get there to heaven. But here's one explanation for it, and it's a good one. Like Jonathan with David, Jesus loves you like he loves himself. Think about it. Jesus loves you like he loves himself. Some people find that hard to take, but it's the truth. It's the truth. All right. It's a relational thing. Okay, God has made us with a unique ability to be able to relate to him. God is a relational God. He wants to walk with us, and it's his initiation. You know, he wants to walk with us. And the Bible often talks about people who walk with God. You go to the very first chapters of the Bible. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. Yeah? And he also walked with Enoch. And then he took him, and he was no more. And Noah's described as walking with God in Genesis 6, verse 9. And here's a good one for us in Micah 6, verse 8. So God is talking to his people. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you. So it's a requirement. To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. God wants to walk with us as we're on this earth. He wants to walk with us through the life that we're living down here. And think about it. Jesus, when he came down, he walked all over Israel with his peeps, with his disciples, walked everywhere with them, didn't he? And the crowds, they'd follow him as he walked down the street, and they'd crowd around him, walking in the same steps that Jesus walked. Okay, very famously, after he rose from the dead, he walked undercover. He did a bit of a covert op on a couple of his followers. And they were walking. They thought he was dead, to be around no more. Cleopas was the name of one of them. The other one was Anonymous. And Jesus kind of snuck up upon them. That's hard to say. Okay. And started having a Bible study on the go with him. And so it was a Bible study on legs. And he chatted along with him. And they sat down. They got to their destination, sat down. And then they suddenly recognized, hang about a second. And bam, he was gone, disappeared. And, he was walking with them along the way. How many times are we walking through life and we don't recognize that Jesus is actually alongside us? Yeah, he's there all the time, walking alongside with us. That's his promise to us. I'm going to be with you always. Anybody tell me what always means? Always means always, all the time. Yeah, he's there always. Okay, so he's walking with us, always. How good is that? Our God is a relational God. We call him what? Abba, Father. You know, that's a relational name. Abba, Father. All right. The first line of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay, it starts with that on purpose. Yeah? Starts with that on purpose. It's before your kingdom come. It's before give us this day our daily bread. You need it for provision. It's before forgive me my sins. You know, it's before all of that. We've got to start with relationship. God wants to relate to us. He wants us to know that we are in relationship with him first and foremost. It's great, isn't it? We come to our Heavenly Father. Everything we are in Christ comes out of relationship. What does Jesus call us? He calls us friends. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. How awesome is that? Okay, and there was that time. It always kind of... sorry, Tony, you're going to have to be Jesus for now. There was a time at the Last Supper where it talks about... And John was there, and he was kind of like... Think about the intimacy of this. He was just... reclining on Jesus' chest, you know. And, you know, that's kind of like a weird thing for us English folks to kind of appreciate, isn't it? You know, it's like, ooh, that's a bit close, that's a bit kind of, you know. But Jesus wasn't afraid of that kind of intimacy, you know. Jesus wasn't afraid for someone to be able to hear his heartbeat, you know. And total purity, totally... awesome to be able to get that close to our God. And God wants us to be that close to him that we can hear his heartbeat, you know. We can get that close to him. I believe that through his Holy Spirit. There is that place for us where we can be so close to Jesus like John was when he did that. It's our right to be sons of God. It's our right. bit arrogant, that, doesn't it? But it's not. John 1, chapter 12. All right. But to all who believed him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. All right. Let me hear you say, it's my right to be a child of God. Excellent. You've got to stand up for your rights. Stand up for your rights. Excellent. Okay. Okay. Here's the deal. How many people know that for a relationship to work and to be strong that it takes two? It takes two. Have you ever been to a wedding where someone got married to themselves? Okay, that there may be those people in life that are totally in love with themselves, but going to a service where somebody wants to marry themselves, I mean, that would be weird. You see some weird weddings around nowadays, but that would be the weirdest, wouldn't it? Yeah, I've never actually had an invitation to that wedding. I'm not quite sure I'd turn up either. But anyway, so let's skip forward in the story of David and Jonathan. So what Jonathan prophetically saw has now taken place. And David is King David. Okay, tragically, King Saul and Jonathan have been killed in battle with the Philistines on Mount Gilboa. David mourns deeply for him. He even pens it in a song and sings a lament about his great love for Jonathan. And years later, probably David, I don't know, perhaps he was around his palace or whatever. You know, he sorted out a few of God's enemies, so he didn't have so much time on his hands. He probably spies his hand, takes a look, and he sees the scar that is there upon his hand. And he remembers that he's made a covenant promise to Jonathan that he was going to take care of his business, just like Jonathan was going to take care of his. So let's read the story from 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 to 11. One day David asked, "Is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" He summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. "Are you Ziba?" the king asked. "Yes, sir, I am," Ziba replied. The king then asked him, "Is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them." Ziba replied, "Yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. "In Lodebar," Ziba told him, "at the home of Machir, son of Amiel." So David sent for him and brought him from Machir's house. His name was Mephibosheth. What a cracking name. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. When he came to David, he bowed low to the ground in deep respect. David said, "Greetings, Mephibosheth." I knew that was going to happen. Mephibosheth replied, "I am your servant." "Don't be afraid," David said. "I intend to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table." Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, "Who is your servant that you should show such kindness to a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and servants are to farm the land for him to produce food for your master's household. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will eat here at my table." Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba replied, "Yes, my lord the king, I am your servant, and I will do all that you have commanded." And from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table, like one of the king's own sons. How good a story is that? It's good, isn't it? Yeah. You can kind of see Ziba. He's thinking, that's it. He's found me. He's found me now. After all my granddad did to him, chasing him around all the wilderness and trying to kill him, he's finally got me, because what they often used to do in those days, they'd kill off what was seen as the rival's family, the ever royal family. If somebody else came to to take over. So I'm sure he was pretty trembly and pretty fearful, thinking, that's it, I'm dead meat now. And what a surprise he had that David said, that's it, you're going to eat at my table from now on. You know, do not be afraid. I love that line when he said, I want to show God's kindness to him. Not my kindness, I want to show God's kindness to him. You know, that's what we're called to as believers, isn't it? To show God's kindness to people. It goes beyond our kindness. You know, our kindness has got a limit, hasn't it? But we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us. We can show God's kindness to people if we're willing to see how God sees people. You know, sometimes we look at people, we can't help it. Human beings, they can be very judgmental, can't they? They kind of say, ah, so-and-so. But if we can see people with God's kindness, it's different. You know, we can see how God sees them. They're treasured in his sight. And they may look crippled from the outside or whatever. They may look lame. They may look poor and scabby on a human level. But when you see them through God's eyes, it's a different ball game altogether. Wow, he's got what? Ziba, 15 sons, 20 servants, all at his beck and call now. Talk about from zero to hero. What a difference that made once he realized that there was a promise that was coming into effect. You know, that was it, the covenant promise. He was nothing until he found out what the promise truly meant, that covenant promise. Isn't that kind of like a picture of what we're like before we come to Christ? And after we come to Christ, we come into a covenant. We come into a promise. All the promises that God has are suddenly ours when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. And that's there for every single one of us who wants it. Okay, so David made sure he took the business of covenant seriously. Do you? Okay. Are we about the king's business? Okay. If David couldn't eat with Jonathan, he's going to do it with his son. Okay. As well as being a picture of what God does for us in seating us on a royal table, it's a picture of what covenant means. It's to be taken seriously. It's a solemn oath. All right, those fantastic promises made to Abraham that are ours in Christ come with this promise. I will bless you and make you a blessing. Okay, but yeah, it did say that as well. Yeah, I will bless you and make you a blessing. Okay, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. Part of God's covenant with us is to make us a blessing. How many people want to be a blessing? Wave your hands at me. Anybody want to be a blessing? Anybody not want to be a blessing? Wave your hands at me. That's the right answer. Well done. Okay, so how can we bless Jesus? I mean, you know, he's not a cripple like old Phoebe was. You know, he's seated in heaven. How can we be a blessing to Jesus? Let's take a look in Matthew, shall we? Chapter 25. Familiar verses, but they're good. I'm actually getting hot in this. Can I take it off? Is that all right? Thank you. Your chair. You could be well dressed and clothed now. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of these least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. How good is that? That's called ministry. Right. Feed people, water them, give hospitality, clothe people, visit them, visit a prisoner, visit someone who's shut in. Think about it. We can all do ministry like that. And some of you, you do sneaky good works, don't you? God likes that kind of thing. Sneaky good works. Okay. See, God, when you do sneaky good works, God promises he's going to openly reward you. Somebody did a sneaky secret bless me to my family, actually, the other week. So thank you very much, whoever that was. Bless you. The Lord heard prayer, and you were an answer to that. How good is that? Okay, and it was an answer to prayer, like I was saying. But let me encourage all of you. All right, you can feed the hungry. You can help those in need. There's loads of different good charities out there that you can help support. We've got one in this church. So there's some pictures on the wall about it. But yeah, let me encourage you to bless people in whatever way you can. Pray and ask God, you know, how can I give? It's an easy way to bless people is to be able to give. Give out your excess. God likes that kind of thing. Jesus used to give to the poor. All right, we're supposed to do that as well because we're clothed with Christ. Check out the core principles of whoever you want to give to. Make sure it's the kind of people that God would approve of, and then go for it. I encourage you. Be generous with what God has given you. All right. How else can we minister to Jesus? So many of you are serving the community at the moment. Keep on doing it. Well done. You're blessed by the Father. Don't stop because he loves it. Keep serving the community in the ways that you do. Serve the little Jesuses that come into this place. You know, see them as Jesus. Serve the big Jesuses. Serve the old Jesuses. I tell you the truth. When you do it for the very least of them, you're doing it for Jesus. All right. Your service is a blessing to the heart of Jesus. Keep on serving. Do it because you love him. Do it with joy. It means you can smile when you're doing it. All right. It's part of our walk with God. It's how we fulfill our covenant responsibilities. Okay. Be seriously joyful about it. All right. It's God's intention to make you a blessing. And he will. Remember whose you are, what it cost to make you his. And be thankful for it at the same time. I'm going to finish with one last scripture. And then we're going to pray. Is that all right? Yeah. All right, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Bit of a challenge to us. And so, dear brothers and sisters, can you see how relational that is? You know, dear. That's a nice word, isn't it? Dear brothers and sisters. Again, relational. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. It's hard to walk with God when you're following the customs of this world. Did you know that? You know, we need to walk the kind of places where God wants us to walk. That's how we should be walking as we go along. Going places and seeing things, looking at things that God would approve of. Right, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Great scripture. Okay, so let's just bow our heads for a bit, shall we? Let's again focus upon the cross. Let's focus upon that covenant that God has made with us through Jesus. You know, it's good, isn't it, when we can picture that covenant that Jonathan and David had. It kind of brings it down to a human level. And, yeah, we can kind of understand what it means. And it's good to understand that God brought things down to a human level as well. He sent Jesus as a man to die on a cross so that we could have relationship with him. And I don't know where you're at today, whether you know Jesus or whether you don't, but his invitation is there for you today. If you want to know him, you can know him. You can enter that covenant, that agreement with him that he is going to be Lord of your life, that he's going to be the one that can take care of you. He wants to be everybody's heavenly Father. He wants to accept you into his family. He wants to give you all those promises that we've been talking about. He wants to make you a blessing. So, if you're here today and you want to get to know God as your Savior, as your Lord, as your friend, as your Father, that is open to you today. And perhaps you're here today and you've been thinking to yourself, well, yeah, I kind of used to know God. I used to walk God with God in that kind of way. It's easy. With God, he always makes it easy to come back to him. It's not difficult. The devil might convince you, try and con you to tell you that it's difficult to come back to God. It's not. It's easy. All you need to do is to repent. That means to turn around and to go the other way. Come back to your heavenly Father like that prodigal son did in the parable that he told you. Come back to the Father and he embraces you again in his love because he's a relational God. He wants to know you deeply. And you once again can put your head upon his chest and he'll be more than willing to let you do that. So yeah, and what else is there for us in this covenant that we talk about? We talk about the healing power of the Lord Jesus. It's there and we know that God heals, but it's also part of that covenant. And if you would like some prayer today for healing, you know, we want to see that covenant becoming a reality for you today. If there is sickness in your body, God doesn't want it there. He doesn't want it there. He didn't die for nothing. He died to take our sins. He died to take our sicknesses. So, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond if you want to. I'm going to ask Hayes, could you come up and play? And if there's anything that you feel as though God is just kind of putting his finger on in your life, perhaps you might want to commit your life to God. Perhaps you might want to commit your life back to God. Or perhaps you just might want that healing touch that comes from his covenant promises. We want to agree with you in prayer. It won't be me that heals you, it will be God that heals you. We'll ask Pastor Lynn as well if she'll come and pray with folks who respond. So let's be bold today. You know, step into the thing that is yours by right. You know, you're a child of his. It's your right to be that son of God this morning. So don't feel as though you're not worthy of it. You are worthy because God has made you worthy. So you want a touch from the King. You want to know his healing power into your life. I'm going to invite you to come forward. And I want to pray with you. Just get God on your case to do something for you. So come now as Hayes plays. Don't hold back.